basically, if your job is robotic, and if you're typing at your computer and you're thinking like, hey, you know, this job's pretty boring, I bet a robot could do this, then you're probably in jeopardy. Like, that job very well is, if your job is robotic and does not have much of a human element to it, then yes, you are in trouble. And that doesn't just go for blue collar, it goes for white collar as well. It goes for anyone. If there's a job that has multi-dimensional complexity to it, where there is a human element, then you might be good for another, you know, couple decades or for a while. And a great example of this is the example of a plumber. If you're a plumber, which is a blue collar job, that is something that is actually pretty safe. Because we're probably a little ways away where a robot could do the job of a plumber.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 142, with host of Beyond Homo Sapien, Paul Tokizulu.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and with me today is Harrison Painter, founder of Amplify Indie. If this is the first time you're listening in, this is the show where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, athletes, experts, and artists to help you find and execute your own personal mission and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Thank you for joining us in today's chat. Today's conversation is actually the second in a two-part series of interviews, diving a bit deeper into the motivation of following one's own personal mission. You might remember in the last session, we heard from Chris Jordan, who talked about how he felt his current path was put before him due to divine intervention. And in this session, we talked to Paul Tokizulu about his personal path and how over time he learned that a lot of the uncomfortable situations that he's found himself in his life were simply due to the fact that he wasn't educated on how the world really worked. And as he learned more and more, he gained an understanding that most people never have the opportunity to, as they're too focused on their day-to-day job and other activities. So in this conversation, we'll be talking more about what exactly triggered his interest in personal development, when he realized he wasn't a victim of the universe, and what he expects to see happen as current technologies continue to advance. But before we get to that, I want to tell you guys a little bit about Fizzle. You know, here's the thing. We're already 2 months into the new year. March is just around the corner. And the first question that I have for you, have you found your personal mission yet? Have you run through the guide to help you find your mission? And if you have, great. That's awesome. But the next question after that is, how do you plan on executing it? How do you make a presence for yourself online and meet the people you need to meet to act on that mission that you've recently found? You know, there's a lot of courses that are out there that give advice on how to do this, and many, however, cost a small fortune. And that's one of the reasons why I continue to be a fan of Fizzle. In fact, to this day, Fizzle is the most comprehensive member-based resource on the web that I've seen. They have so many courses on there that can help the new creative that I know that you'll get your money's worth. And another thing, just this month, I realized that they have a new course called SEO for Bloggers by Matt Genovese from MoneyLab. And I'm excited to check this course out because even though I've learned a lot about SEO over the years and doing new inceptions on the other sites that I've been an admin for over the last 10 years or so, you know, I'm sure that there's still stuff that I can learn. And if you don't know what SEO is, and this is the first time that you're hearing about it, then you really want to check that course out because it's something that you have to know about to get your name out there and recognized. Otherwise, it just doesn't stand out from the crowd. Anyway, get access to this course and many more geared towards the new entrepreneur today. You can get started for 2 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. That's newinceptions.com/fizzle. All right, just a reminder that I'm in the process of archiving old sessions of the show. If you want access to those classic conversations, check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/newinceptions. Also, don't forget to subscribe and comment on the show via whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. Doing so really does help people find the show, which means we can help them do more fulfilling work for themselves. Show notes and show note extras of this conversation could be found at newinceptions.com/142. And as usual, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC Preston and with Harrison Painter today. How's 2019 treating you, man? How you doing?
It is better than expected so far. We, of course, Amplify's rocking and rolling, doing what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I started the ketogenic lifestyle this year with intermittent fasting. And dude, 2 weeks in, I feel incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what will happen when you take the white stuff out of your diet. That is for sure. Always was interesting to me whenever I would do not only keto, but paleo in the last couple of years. So, I know that high for sure, but it's hard to stay on the ship, man. It's definitely hard to stay on the ship. A lot of different things going on as well in our neck of the woods. You talked about Amplify. We're going to be having our first event of the year next week.
So yes, finding your strength in 2019. We've got some incredible speakers coming in. We've got the former chaplain of the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. He's coming in to talk about a nonprofit called Straight Up. It's an incredible nonprofit that kind of does the same thing that we all do, but for inner city kids, kind of mm-hmm. teaching that entrepreneurial mindset and just getting them to think differently than they currently are. Financial literacy and things like that as well. So, the things that these schools aren't teaching these kids, we've got to find ways to do it. Because look, that we can't wait on other people to do it for us.
Right.
It's just never going to happen if we do that. And these young people, well, adults too, right? They're all stuck in this victimhood mentality that the media and everything keeps putting in their heads. And then we've got to fight hard to prevent that and create the next generation of leaders.
Right. Yeah. And it's so cool to actually see people taking things into their own hands. And one of the things that we'll get into later in the conversation is that, local school here in India is actually making a marketing company out of their students, which is freaking awesome. So yeah, it's all kinds of different things that are definitely changing for the better. Yeah.
I saw a news story today that I've got to touch on this because of how important this is. And I know it leads in with our guest is that there was an article that came out that at least at, like, we live in Indianapolis, and this article came out that there's all these dead end, low paying jobs, right? That we just don't have enough good jobs in Indy. But the problem is the article goes on to say, and the problem is when people are in the workforce, education is too hard. Okay. Now, let's just say that you're stuck in this thing. All they did was put in your head that I would like to go to school, but yeah, they're right. It's too hard. Right now, here's the thing, dude. My schedule is insane. You know, JC, my schedule is nuts. I've been in college full time for 3 years.
Mm, okay, you wouldn't know it.
So, this online stuff has really come a long way, number one. Now, number two, they talk about the fact that it's not affordable. Well, I go to Ivy mm-hmm. Tech. And if you're in the low income bracket, there's grants, there's student loans, there are ways to go to college online and get your degree without a penny coming out of your pocket until later, right? When you need to find that new job. So these are the things that we're battling against, and we need to teach people to create their own economies, their own mindsets, and to stop buying into a narrative that's BS.
Right, right. Well, and speaking of our guest, he's actually someone that I met or learned about in the last year. He's someone that has made most of his brand about seeing these future trends way ahead of time and talking to the online entrepreneurial world about her. He's founder of Beyond Homo Sapien and is the host of the podcast of the same name, discusses emerging technology, spiritual awakening, holistic living, and personal development, and how they all incorporate into each other. And on top of that, he has a background in helping spiritual coaches and healers with their digital marketing, and as a big fan of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, actually a practitioner in and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, yoga, and reading old books. Today's guest is Paul Tokyozulu, who can be found at beyondhomosapien.com. How you doing, Paul? Thanks for joining us.
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, my friends.
Yeah, so lots of the different things going on there, man. You know, first of all, I always like to start getting to know people as, you know, who were they growing up and how did they get to the point where they're at? So if you were to say that a movie was based on your life, what would the opening scene look like?
Well, it actually looked like a hospital room in Bloomington, Indiana, because that's where I was born.
Oh, really?
And born in Bloomington. And but then we quickly moved to Germany because my dad got a job, and then moved to Maryland after that job kind of fell through after a little while. And I was homeschooled. We did move back to Indiana, actually, and we lived in Brownsburg, which I think is right outside of Indianapolis.
Yep.
So I lived in Brownsburg for about 2 years, and but then moved back to Maryland. And Maryland is ultimately kind of where I grew up in the later years of my life. So moved around a lot, and I was homeschooled as a little kid. I was homeschooled all the way up until college, and then I went to community college for 2 years. And so I still lived at home for a while. And then I finally left the nest when I was like 19, and I went to Lycoming College in middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And studied philosophy, and I did Army ROTC, and I commissioned as an officer in the military police corps for the Army. And I'm still there. I'm getting out in about 4 to 6 months off of active duty, and I'll be transitioning into this entrepreneurial space full time. And so I guess that's kind of my, you know, I don't know what you call it, my history, if you were to look at me on a graph or whatever. But I started getting into entrepreneurship about 2 years ago, maybe a little longer, because I realized that I didn't want to do this 9-to-5 thing. Mm-hmm. Like many, after I got out of the military, I was like, man, I cannot do this. This is not for me. I am not geared for this 9-to-5 life. So I knew that as soon as I transitioned out of the military, I wanted to be able to go right into my own business. So I started getting into the online space about 2 years ago, and I started first with a jiu-jitsu podcast called the Matrix BJJ Podcast, which you can still find in the depths of the internet somewhere. And because jiu-jitsu is one of my favorite things in the world. I've been practicing that for about 8 years. And so I started a show talking about that, and that one thing led to another. I started learning about digital marketing, and I launched my digital marketing agency about a year and a half ago. And I've since developed that into and kind of evolved that into a business development agency. And and I started the Beyond Homo Sapien podcast about 8 months ago. I kind of transitioned the show away from jiu-jitsu because I realized, like, I love jiu-jitsu, but I like doing jiu-jitsu a lot more than I like talking about it. So I transitioned what I was podcasting about. And that's kind of where we are today. And I'm working on a bunch of pretty exciting projects kind of in the background, in the shadows. So it's good times.
You're doing all this stuff while you're an active in the military?
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Because a lot of times the main thing that you think of when people are active in the military is that they might be able to play video games. But other than that, they're always on the job. And
yeah, you find a way or you find an excuse.
Cool. So you're talking about how you got into digital marketing, and then you got into personal development. And it sounds like you got into personal development back earlier than that. But you know, what do you remember being the first thing that opened your eyes about all this information that was out there about bettering who we are, being more aware, you know, just having a better lifestyle?
Well, it starts internally, of course. So I mentioned that I'm not quite geared for the 9-to-5 life. And the reason being is because pretty much right away when I got into the active duty military, I started to have a lot of mental health issues that came up. I started to have a lot of issues around sensory overwhelm. And I was having trouble with anxiety, trouble in my relationships, and just all over my personal life. And I blamed the job. I blamed the 9-to-5 environment. I was like, man, I don't know how the hell people do this. This is complete baloney. This isn't what I signed up for. And like, I was totally just angry about this 9-to-5 life that I was working. And I'm in the 90% of the military that is pretty much no different than a corporate job, but I wear a uniform and boots to work.
Gotcha.
Versus, you know, like the majority of the military is almost identical to corporate America. And then there's the 10% that they show on the Go Army commercials where people are parachuting and jumping out of airplane. Like the vast majority is very similar to a, you know, corporate job. Right. So that's me, you know, I'm in that section.
I'm all too familiar with it when my wife has been in the National Guard for 16 years. And whenever we, you know, I need like a card or something, I have to go in and talk to guys. I'm sure they're kind of, you know, admin type dudes.
Yep.
It's like going into a, like you said, a corporate building for sure. So
absolutely. So that's me. And I was not digging it at all. And I blamed the job for all these things that was going on in my personal life. And this is when I got in about 5 years ago or so. And it got to the point where I was having panic attacks every day before I was going into work because I was having so many issues around sensory overload. And it wasn't until I really started to explore what was happening with me and I began to take responsibility for myself and what was happening in my world. And I started to do all the research and get help and work with counselors and work with coaches to help me figure out like what was going on. And then I realized I'm on the autism spectrum and I'm a little bit more on the high functioning end of that spectrum, although I've certainly had plenty of very low functioning days in my life. But I realized that I'm autistic, and that has kind of spurred on this personal development journey because I was determined to not have this to be something that I would take advantage of in my life and use autism as a superpower, which it can totally be, versus having it completely control me and make me live in this like shut down state where I was like struggling with panic attacks and really severe anxiety and depression and all this other stuff. And I decided that this was not going to be my life, that I was going to, you know, step into something more powerful. So that's really what kind of did it. And then it just set me on this journey of leading from the personal side over to the spiritual side, learning about stuff like the law of attraction or all sorts of crazy stuff that I'm into these days. And here we are.
You've definitely had a wide assortment of guests on your show that's just in the last couple of weeks. I've noticed just like, wow, this guy's on fire.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
But wait. I want to go back and touch on something though, because this is a big part of what we talk about here with Amplify and everything that I'm doing is the point where you found out you were autistic, yes?
Yeah.
And typically what happens at that point is the world tells you that you now have a handicap and you're a victim. Yes, that's what's being fed into most people's heads. So, but you decided, not a victim, I'm going to use this as a superpower and be a leader. So what was that actual spark that said, I'm not going to be a victim, I'm going to use this as power to become a leader? And you kind of help people through that a little bit that might be suffering right now going through that.
Absolutely. So first of all, again, learning about the law of attraction was huge. And I tell this to people, this is what I talk about on the show very often. You hear about the law of attraction and things like it, and you hear about this idea that our thoughts create our reality and our minds control our universe. And it sounds like a bunch of hippie woo-woo hocus pocus. And I'm well aware of that. And my initial reaction was complete skepticism. And that's how I approached it but I was curious. And that's the key. Curious skepticism, I think, is the key. Because I was like, this sounds like baloney, but let's give it a try. Let's see what happens. If I start to change my beliefs about the world, or if I experiment with stuff like affirmations or, you know, more positive thinking, let's see what happens. And it worked, you know, worked kind of in quotation marks, you know, because I'm still figuring out exactly what's going on. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what I tell people, is like, base it off your own experiences. So I started to have these experiences around the law of attraction and similar modalities. And I began to realize, like, wait a second, my outer world is a reflection of my internal world. And that it's not my job that is causing me to be this way. I'm choosing to be this way. It's all me. I'm the one who's creating all of this. I'm the one who's manifesting all of these interactions. And that when I changed, and the reason I figured this out was because when I changed my internal states, when I began to heal internally my world, my outer world changed. And it did happen almost as if by magic. And I said, okay, maybe there's something here. Let's go a little further. Mm-hmm. And then to answer your question, I began to realize that, like, oh, wait a second, the world is not happening to me. I am the thing that is happening. I am the cause of all of this, that it is not happening to me. I'm not a victim. If anything, the universe is a victim of me. You know, the world is a victim of me and my own internal states, for better or for worse.
Right.
So I can choose to be for better, or I can choose to be for worse. I can choose to have a negative impact on my environment and be, you know, the person who's struggling, the person who is not able to keep up and not able to contribute, or I can be the leader. I can be the hero of this story. I can be the cause for good. And really, again, it was in my own personal relationships, because I was married to a woman at the time and we were really close, and the relationship was going to shit because of everything happening in my person with autism. And that was, for me, that was the catalyst where I thought, like, okay, I can either have this turn out badly, or I can heal my life and be okay. So that was really the catalyst. So it all started internally. It really did. It wasn't like I immediately realized I was autistic and my first inclination was, oh, I can help people. Like, no, it was all started with me. And then as I helped myself and as I healed internally, that's when I realized, you know, about a year and a half ago, that's when I realized, like, holy shit, people need to hear this message. This is something that I can contribute. And that's something a lot of folks talk about, is turning your mess into your message. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
Because it really is quite profound. I don't think people understand the implications of autism. I don't think they know how common it is. I don't think that they really get it and what it actually looks like in a person. And furthermore, what it looks like when someone with autism is healed and is able to turn it into that superpower. And I don't think that they get what that looks like, or how powerful of a force for good it can be in the world. And for me internally, it completely was wrecking my life. And I didn't realize it, but I'm actually gay. And I didn't realize that I'm gay until I started to heal from all this stuff, because autism cuts you off from your emotions. It's a disorder of connection, and it makes it so that you're not connected with yourself internally, and that your vagal nerve system that runs throughout your entire body and connects all of your neurotransmitters together, when you're on the autism spectrum, that is damaged. That connection source of connecting you within is damaged, and you're not able to feel your own emotions, including, for me, my sexuality. So when I began to heal my emotional state and began to finally connect the dots emotionally and internally, I was able to bring those sexual emotions online. And that's when me and my wife realized, holy shit, that's why our relationship doesn't work. I'm gay. and that's okay. Like, but, you know, and now we're best friends, and that's where we've kind of transitioned the relationship to. But yeah, we were trying to make something work that was never going to work. And the reason I bring this up is because this is what's happening in the world at scale. Mm. Is we have a connection issue at scale, at large scale. We are not connected with each other, and it's a reflection of our own internal states. So what I'm trying to do now is, again, I've been able to heal myself internally. I mean, obviously, I'm always a work in progress. Over the course of my life, I'll always be learning and evolving in this way. And but because I've maybe had to go through the manual steps of connecting myself internally, maybe I can help others connect with themselves and connect with one another, because ultimately that's what the world needs. If we're going to save the planet, we have to be connected with one another. And we have to understand that everyone is just us living another life. And we're all just different manifestations of the same collective whole, effectively.
Absolutely. And I want to touch on something on that, because he just dropped a bomb on us, right? I want to touch on this, because the other issue that I see out there in the world now is people are trying to help, but they're really throwing out this pursue your passion, right? We've heard that for the last, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, and, you know, pursue your passion. But the problem even with that philosophy is it's very hard to pursue your passion until you know who you are, right? And I think we have this major problem in our society that we don't know who we are yet, right? So the story that you just shared, this intimate story that you were suffering, you were in a lot of pain, you were unhappy, you find out it's because of autism, which is a bomb within itself. And then through autism, you find out that you're gay, which means you've never really had a healthy overall relationship at that point in your life. But now everything comes together. You understand more. Like, I don't think we ever fully know who we are, right? It's always a work in progress. But at least you understand more of who you are. That's when you can start pursuing your passion and actually making a difference. And I think we need to go back and start helping people figure out who they are before we help them pursue their passion, right? Step one. And you're a prime example of why that's so important.
Thank you, man. Yes, totally with you. And this is what I tell people that I'm working with, like new clients that I'm helping or just people who ask me for advice about where to get started in their entrepreneurial journey or whatever. And they wait for perfection. And this is something that you see all over the place in the entrepreneur community. People wait for perfection. They wait for the perfect idea to come before it takes form, before they get started. And that's the absolute opposite of what you should do. Like for me, I started with a jiu-jitsu podcast and I had no clue what the hell I was ultimately going to do. I'm not doing anything. I guess I'm doing podcasting, but like, and we talk about jiu-jitsu every once in a while, but you know what I mean? Like, I thought, okay, I'm just, my thing was, I knew that I had to do something because I was like, man, for the sake of my own mental health, I cannot do a 9-to-5 job for the rest of my life. So I have to get involved in this entrepreneur thing. So let's start a podcast because that's literally the only thing I know how to do. And I'll talk about jiu-jitsu because that's the thing I'm most passionate about talking about right now. And I got started, and that's it. I got started because oftentimes you don't see how you can contribute to the world until you get started and get involved in the marketplace and get involved in the world. Like, you don't know how to make an industry better if you're not involved in the industry. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to have some big idea sitting from the outside on the sidelines on your keyboard watching Gary Vee on YouTube. And I love Gary Vee, but you know what I mean? Like, you're never going to sit there. You're never going to see your big idea until you get involved and you start meeting people. You start seeing, okay, I'm involved in marketing now and I see that there's a gap in the market over here. Like, ClickFunnels and Kajabi are pretty good at the funnel thing, but they suck at hosting courses. Huh, maybe I could implement something there. And then that's your big idea. And then you move forward on that. And then you start to, you know, and then you start to develop more skills. You grow your network. People say, hey, I really like what you're doing. I'm working on X, Y, and Z. Want to collaborate? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then that leads to another thing and another thing. And then here you are. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
Like it's not like you're not going to get your perfect idea sitting on the sidelines on your couch waiting for the idea to come. I mean, maybe, but from my experience, that is absolutely not the case. Success emerges out of what it is that you have been grinding and doing, you know what I mean? And working at, and suddenly you get it. You're on a walk in the woods and you're thinking about the shit that you were doing, you know, on your podcast or working with a client. You're like, man, if only they could know X, Y, and Z. And then you say, aha, I got it. Maybe I'll go with this idea. And then even that, your big idea will change. Like, my big idea for the world changes, you know, seemingly every couple months. Like, you know, it's always an evolving process. But the thing is, you just got to get started. Really do. Just got to get your face out there, start putting out value into the world, start helping people, and you'll see where you can make your kind of unique contribution, if right. That makes sense.
Totally. One of the things that we were talking about, that you started again digital marketing, you continue to have a practice and but that's not necessarily your focus publicly. One of the things that, you know, a couple of years back there was a thing called Blab FM. Do you remember that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I miss Blab. Blab was cool. I don't know why it failed.
Blab was awesome. And part of the reason they just didn't have, they didn't see, I think, where it was going and when they first started it. And the people that ended up taking advantage of it were entrepreneurs and thought leaders who were looking for an easy way of finding people, especially since the fact that Facebook has been such monetized recently. But one of the things that was really interesting on there, you just reminded me of, is that there are all these different niches and things coming out that we have to be aware of. And virtual reality plays into that. Augmented reality plays into that. And just, you know, how some of the things are going to be changing here in the relatively near future. Can you talk further about how things are changing for digital marketing and where do you see things going?
Yeah, so I see it headed much more towards authenticity and transparency with your audience, because people are starting to, and your clients, people are starting to see, people are starting to figure out how the internet works. Like here in 2019, at the very beginning, especially, like people understand your funnel. They understand your sales pitch. They understand that if they hop on your free webinar, that there's a very good chance that you're going to give them some pitch for 30 minutes of it. You know what I mean? Like they've seen all the tricks. And I'm talking now about like average Joe for the most part. You know, average Joe has downloaded free ebooks and gotten on email lists and been exposed to pitches and yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? So like it's, people are not responding to that as well. And this is, again, like the immediate, you know, present, what's going on today is this idea that people understand. They get it. They see how these things work. They've been around the block a few times. The same old stuff is not going to be working in 2019 that did in 2017 or 2016 mm-hmm. or anything like that. And also we're seeing these ad platforms becoming like, well, Facebook has been kind of the golden pot for a while now. It's been, people can get results off of, you know, $5 a day on Facebook ads and stuff like that. And we're seeing that shift. Facebook is coming back at us and saying, hey guys, we've given you a lot of free stuff these past, you know, 10 years. Time to pay up, you know, we're going to get our money back, you know, on this thing. They got investors and shareholders who are looking at them and saying, hey guys, when are we going to see a return on this investment we made? And Facebook's like, all right, we'll reduce the organic reach on people's Facebook live videos. So they're forced to buy ads. How about that? You know what I mean? So that's happening on the Facebook end of the house. Instagram is absolutely going to follow suit very soon in the next couple years, but there's huge opportunity still on these other advertising platforms. Like Google is opening up a new ad platform. It's pretty inexpensive still at this point, relatively. Pinterest is actually getting pretty huge on the advertising side of the house, and so on and so forth. So we're shifting. But what I'm getting at, again, is this idea that you have to stay on top of the upcoming trends, and the ads that you launched in 2017 or 2018 are not going to work in 2019 because, again, the market is getting smarter. People understand what the hell you're doing. You know what I mean? So we're really seeing more getting pushed back to this idea of like authenticity and transparency, where people want to know you before they buy from you. People understand now that like you're just a regular person, just like them. They want to get a lot of value from you before they ever buy from you in many cases. And there's this idea of pre-selling that I think is becoming absolutely huge and is only going to change. Cause like I work with a lot of coaches, and this idea of pre-selling your audience is absolutely huge, where by the time that your person, your ideal client gets on a phone call with you or on a Zoom chat or a video call with you or something like that, they should already be asking you like, how do I buy your program? Like, I've been following you for such a long time. You know, I've listened to your podcast. I've watched your YouTube video. I read your ebook, yada, yada, yada. And then you give them just an opportunity to basically hop on a call with you. And you shouldn't necessarily have to pitch them. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously sales pitches are still very much a thing. I'm just talking about the overall trend of where we're going right now. This idea that you have the power with the internet through all these content creation platforms like podcasting or YouTube or a blog or just your Facebook group or something along those lines, where you can provide so much value to your audience over these free platforms, where as soon as they hop on a call with you to purchase a coaching service, perhaps, or something like that, they will ask you, how do I sign up? Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of where the market is shifting, is you want to get on that strategy where you're not just trying, like gone are the days of, hey, we're going to have a free strategy session and then I'll pitch you on my $5,000 offer and you'll say yes. You know what I mean? Because people are smarter. They're more well equipped. They have more knowledge around this stuff. They know how the internet works. So that's how I see it happening in like 2019. We can get into like the specifics of the future though, if you're interested.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially on the artificial intelligence and VR side. You know, I see, you know, one of the complaints that I hear from people when it comes to, let's just take professional sports, right? A football game is way too expensive, right? Only the rich or the corporate can afford the 50-yard line seats, things like that, right? But VR, could be a solution to that. Because if I could sit in that seat in the comfort of my own home and have a very similar experience, that's a solution to a problem people are complaining about heavily, right? Now we talk about artificial intelligence, and even where computers start to think and learn, right? Machine learning. How do you see those things really impacting people? Because the fear right now is, as machines start to think, as artificial intelligence becomes more real, are they going to take all of our jobs, right? So what do you see happening as all these technologies keep moving forward?
So much is going to happen as all these things move forward. So much that we can, it's difficult to predict at its very nature. I'm a big fan of Yuval Noah Harari, who wrote Sapiens, Homo Deus, and 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. He's an amazing thought leader on this exact topic. And I've studied him and many others along this line. And it's huge. And here's the thing about artificial intelligence taking our jobs and that kind of idea. It's this idea that, yes, they are basically, if your job is robotic and if you're typing at your computer and you're thinking like, hey, you know, this job's pretty boring, I bet a robot could do this, then you're probably in jeopardy. Like, that job very well is, if your job is robotic and does not have much of a human element to it, then yes, you are in trouble. And that doesn't just go for blue collar, it goes for white collar as well. It goes for anyone. Like, it could be, but if there's a job that has multi-dimensional complexity to it, where there is a human element, then you might be good for another, you know, couple decades or for a while. Like, and a great example of this is the example of a plumber, for example. Like, if you're a plumber, which is a blue collar job, that is something that is actually pretty safe, because we're probably a little ways away where a robot could do the job of a plumber, meaning go up to the client, knock on their door, say, hi, how are you doing? I heard you had trouble with your pipes. And then going into the bathroom, taking a look at the toilet or the sink or whatever's having the issue, and then getting down in kind of this maybe crouched or position or something along those lines, and being able to look at the pipes or the toilet and say, oh man, you need to fix X, Y, and Z. Let me grab my toolbox from the car, and then I'll come back and I'm going to use my tools, and I'm going to have to, again, kind of maneuver my body underneath these pipes or whatever it is, and I'm going to fix it. And it's a delicate job that requires a lot of kind of hand-eye coordination. You know what I mean? So something like that, even though obviously, it's a blue-collar job, that we don't think of, I mean, certainly you have to be skilled to be a plumber, but it's not something you got to go get a PhD for or anything like that. But that's a job that's probably safe for a long period of time, where, you know, we're pretty far from a robot being able to do that job to that level. And again, it's one of these jobs where, you know, again, there's a human element. You got to knock on the person's door. They have to trust you, obviously. Like, they want you to be a nice person. Stuff like that. You know, it's the same with like animal removal, for example, is another one of these jobs. So stuff like that is relatively safe. Or in the corporate world, you know, managing a team, being the person who is managing the sales team or something like that. That's a job that's probably safe because there's a human element. You got to be managing. You got to account for people's different personalities. You've got to know who's right, the right person for this call or that call or this job or that job or whatever. And you got to put up some sort of reporting system, perhaps, and things of that nature. And you got to be managing your boss or stuff like that, or the more high ticket clients, maybe manage them. You know, there's multi layers of complexity to that. Whereas if you are someone typing up the reports for the sales manager, that's a job that might be in jeopardy, because that's something that we can replace with artificial intelligence, is the person who's actually typing the reports, and all they do is they type reports on the computer. And again, that's a job that you might have had to go get a master's degree to get, but you know what I mean? But it very well could be replaced by an advanced version of Google Sheets or something like that. You know what I mean? And that's coming. It's here. It's just not widely implemented at this point. So again, it's shifting this idea of like, okay, all jobs are in trouble, if that makes sense. And it's almost to the point where education is not going to matter, because PhD level jobs in, you know, that revolve around analyzing data and stuff like that, could be in jeopardy just as much as a very low skill job like flipping burgers is in jeopardy. You know what I mean? And those are they're in jeopardy for the same reason, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas, so we're shifting this awareness around what makes a job valuable, if that makes sense. And the thing that we're shifting towards is, again, this element of human connection, of humanness almost, and creativity, but also this multidimensional thing where, think about it, the jobs where you are like walking around on the sales floor or in the client's house, you know, fixing their pipes, and you have to talk to someone, you have to manage people, and you have to have a skill like managing sales teams, sales, or fixing pipes. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how you can tell, okay, is my job in trouble or is my job not in trouble?
Yeah, I think an interesting thing is, let's look at the medical industry, right? I personally think like a nurse is very safe.
Right, because a nurse doctors might not be,
but doctors are not. And I don't know if you've kept up with this, but last November there was a robot that actually passed China's national medical licensing exam.
Yep. So that's huge.
Yeah, this robot can actually do surgery, right? But if you think about it, a true surgeon is a bit of a robot anyway, right? I mean, they have a job that has to be done that's very, very specialized. And I love that you touched on the point where I think it's the bottom of the barrel and the top of the barrel that's in trouble. But the people in the middle, that actually the glue that keeps it together, that's where people need to be, right? They need to be in that middle where they're supporting the bottom and the top, because that's hard to replace.
Yes. Yes. And they need to be skilled. That's huge. You have to have a skill. That's where our whole economy is going, is towards valuing skilled individuals. And that's where I'm working on some projects to revolutionize the education industry. And this is where we want to shift education. And this is where it needs to go. Yeah. This idea of teaching people how to be skilled, and not just skilled in anything, like digital skills for the digital age, like online skills that are tech-based, internet-based. And that doesn't mean coding. Like, for example, my best friend, she's an artist, and she's learning Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop and things like that. That's just as much of a digital skill as, you know, learning how to code. It's just as valuable, because people are going to need that for photography and illustration or all these other things. You know what I mean? Or just digital art in general is huge and only growing in popularity. So it doesn't mean, like, when I say digital skills, people automatically think like, man, I can't do that. I can't code. I can't do this. It's like, well, I can't code either, but I know how to do Facebook ads, which doesn't require any level of coding. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So you just have to understand these tech-based skills that make you extremely valuable to the new marketplace, because we're quickly developing into this entirely internet-based economy that is only going to grow. It's only going to expand. Blockchain has yet to emerge into the equation. That's going to completely replace much of what we know about how the internet actually even functions. And obviously, virtual reality is still about, I'd say, 5 to 10 years away from becoming more mainstream, but that's going to radically shift everything.
Absolutely.
Same with augmented reality. Artificial intelligence is kind of the close threat, if that makes sense. I wouldn't really call it a threat, but that's the close thing. You know, that's the thing that is troubling people today, whereas VR and augmented reality, this is probably about a decade away from being, like, you know, super mainstream. Of course, a decade is nothing in the span of human history, but, you know, to you and I today, it might feel like a long time.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the other day that, you know, IBM officially unveiled its first commercial quantum computer. Which is, as that starts moving forward, I mean, you want to talk about a game changer, right? Quantum computing kind of throws a wrench into everything as we know it.
Yes. And I feel like the conversation that no one is having, and this is something I've tried to talk about on the show, Elon Musk is set to unveil Neuralink any day. Literally, he could do it today, because he went on Joe Rogan's podcast about 6 months ago.
Right.
Maybe about four months ago. And he said on that show, they were talking about Neuralink, and he was basically said, I can't tell you much, but we'll be doing a unveil in 4 to 6 months, which could be literally today. Like, that's you know, today or sometime in the next month, allegedly, assuming they stick to their schedule, we'll be hearing about Neuralink pretty soon. Neuralink being this idea of, like, literally being able to connect the internet to your brain. and experience, because Elon is worried very, very seriously and very rightfully so about artificial intelligence. And this is his answer to basically allow humans to merge with the machines, to merge with the artificial intelligence. And this is the future for sure. This is like my show's all about human evolution. And this is what I'm talking about, is that once we merge with the artificial intelligence and we merge with the machines, I don't think we can call ourselves Homo sapiens any longer. And I truly do think that it's going to open up this entirely new paradigm of the human experience, especially once we factor in blockchain and virtual reality and augmented reality and all these things. Because I know I just said like VR is, you know, 10 years away, as if I'm like fucking, you know, at the cutting edge of the VR field, which I'm not. I'm an analyzer from the outside. I'm not like involved in it, you know what I mean? But Neuralink could come in and then suddenly everyone has that and they become more aware of virtual reality and blockchain and artificial intelligence, and then it happens in a month, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's the power here, because all of these answers are there. They're right there on the internet. All of these things about artificial intelligence or blockchain and how powerful they really are and the real potential, it's all there. People just haven't watched the YouTube video yet, or they haven't read the book yet. They haven't seen the podcast yet, because they're, you know, people are busy and stuff like that. But once we are literally merged with the internet and merged with artificial intelligence to a degree, whatever degree that looks like, suddenly all of information of the entire human species is literally like downloaded into our brain like the Matrix. And suddenly we could all collectively wake up and say, wait a second, what are we doing working at these 9-to-5 jobs? We don't need to do this. What the hell? We have the internet. We can work online. Why are we commuting to work for an hour every day when we could hang out with our family at home? And we could be doing our job from our computer on the internet. And also there's this thing called virtual reality, and I could get an Oculus Go for $250, and we could start to invest more into that collectively. And you know what I mean? So it could take 5 to 10 years, but people could collectively wake up through something like Neuralink, where it patches them into this technological space at a higher level. And then they wake up and they make it happen in a month or two. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
we're sitting on a powder keg is, I guess, what I'm trying to express. We're sitting on the next stage of human evolution, and we just have to wake up and kind of realize that it's there staring us right in the face and then make it happen.
A couple of other things. So I'll just kind of do a bit of a recap of what we've talked about here. So on top of tech and education changing, money is changing. We were talking about cryptocurrency, and you know, an example of that already happening is Venezuela and Latin America. You know, they completely changed their currency to using Bitcoin, I believe.
I'm not sure.
No, they're using Dash.
They're using Dash. That's it. And then, you know, Harrison, you were talking about medicine and how that's changing and how AI is making the technical advances over there. But we also have to think about maybe some of the things that are, you know, a little negative. Like, these are all great things, but, you know, maybe we have to, one of the names that I kind of joke around is United Corporations of America, you know, like Google, Facebook, Apple. Then there's also the whole media situation. You know, we're moving from old media to new media, where, you know, it's great that we hear all sides of the conversation, but however, on the other hand, you know, people are becoming more tribalism based, right? So with that being said, like, what are some of the things that you find yourself currently being pulled towards to find out more about?
So I will say this about the internet. There's a lot of kind of fear, I think, in our society about emerging technology and about where this is going. And it feels like the world is ending sometimes, right? It feels like nuclear war could break out any second and AI is here to destroy the world and all that stuff. And what is happening is the old story of civilization is going away, and that we are transitioning and kind of transcending civilization into something new. So the civilization is being destroyed. Mm. That's what's happening. Is that, I mean, just look at this right now. We're talking over the internet. We're having this very profound and fun, deep conversation. And I love it. And I'm very grateful to be here. But we're able to do this through the internet. And it's a manifestation of our collective consciousness. That's really what the internet is. It's our collective mind manifest it out into the world in a way that we can all navigate and search and stuff like that. So again, it feels like the world is ending sometimes because we are literally transitioning into the next era of the species. And it's scary, just like change in general is scary, right? And we're all scared of change internally. And so in other words, the world is not ending. The human species is not ending. The civilization is ending. The old society is ending. The old paradigms of our societal system is ending, for sure. That's what's going on. So it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of, well, it is. It is. That's the other thing. It's the end of Homo sapiens. That's, I guess, what my whole message is for the show. It's the end of Homo sapiens. We're evolving into something new.
Yeah, a lot of things that like really just kind of took into effect like right after World War II, 1950s, is completely outdated right now. And yeah, it's just, for sure. If you look around you, I mean, how many examples can you probably think about that still rely on that old, education being one of them, but that old, you know, mentality? And you're completely right.
Yep.
So,
well, and I want to touch on one thing that you brought up. So the fear of the Google, Facebook, and Apple kind of controlling the world thing, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But there's one thing to think about when it comes to machine learning and AI and things like that, right? That Google, Facebook, and Apple are just as scared of it as people are as scared of them taking over the world. Because if AI in its truest form was truly always constantly optimizing, that's also a threat to anybody that has their own agenda to move something forward. The reason why things are scary right now is people are easy to manipulate, right? Whether it was Russia, whether it was Google, whatever in the last U.S. election that you want to say, people, we see in social media how easy people are manipulated with a very well put together seeded message. Yes. But AI could stop that, because if it's truly optimized, that kind of stuff wouldn't happen. It would always be optimizing itself to the best possible result and not a manipulation.
Yep. And here's the thing, too. And this is, I guess, what I'm trying to express to answer your question about these corporations and stuff like that, because I totally am with you. I totally agree. It's certainly something to consider, certainly something to put safeguards against, perhaps. I don't know if it should come from the government, but maybe from the people, perhaps. I don't know. But my point is that, so again, going back to this kind of thesis statement, I guess, that the internet is our collective mind manifested, I believe that truth will ultimately win the day. Over a long period of time, is that ultimately truth, the cream will rise to the top. We're seeing it again, taking it back to digital marketing, what I was talking about before. These fake gurus are going to go away. They're all going to go out of business because people are wising up to what's happening in the business, in the entrepreneur community. And they're saying, hey, just because you got results for one person with Facebook ads doesn't mean you can teach me how to, you know, make millions and millions of dollars with Facebook ads. Get out of here. And the cream is rising to the top, and we're collectively where the truth is going to win. And the same is true for, like, let's look at cannabis, the cannabis movement of legalization. It's all because of the internet, because of people like Joe Rogan and folks like him who have spoken up and put out this massive amount of information about cannabis and saying, hey guys, it's actually not going to kill you. It's actually, you know, there's lots of medical research showing the pros. And now it's legal in several states and it's growing worldwide. You know, it's the same thing. It took time, took decades, but the truth wins the day over time. So that's what I'm saying is, like, especially when we get into Neuralink, when we get into what we're talking about here with this instant access to information, people are going to find the truth. People are going to figure it out. They're going to see what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take it's the amount of time that it takes for the truth to win the day is going to be compressed. And now, instead of people taking decades to realize that cannabis is not dangerous, they'll figure it out in a day because they'll have instant access to be able to download these scientific reports into their brains and, like Neo in the Matrix, say, I know Kung Fu. But instead, what they're saying is, oh, I know shrooms actually are very beneficial for treating PTSD. We should legalize them, perhaps. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just an example. But you get what I'm saying. That is the power here. And that's why I have so much optimism and so much hope. Because Yes. Do corporations owning all of our data, is that a big deal? Is that something to worry about? For sure. Absolutely. 100%. But just like we saw with the whole Cambridge Analytica thing, we're going to figure it out. That's my point. Transparency is going to be easy. It's going to be instantaneous. It's going to be impossible for governments or corporations to like classify information. Just give it another 5 to 10 years. The whole idea of classified information is going to be gone. It's just going to be impossible. You know what I mean? It's not going to be they're not going to be able to even do it because these systems will have progressed to such an extent where the people will again just have instant access to this information at scale. And that's what I'm saying is like, we're going to be okay. I guess that's the message here, is that it feels like the world is ending because again, the civilization is ending. The paradigm is ending, but we're going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. We've got so many bright people working on this. So many bright people that I've connected with, very young people who are like really just getting started, people that you probably will hear about over the next decade. They're just getting started, because that's the other thing too. All these influencers like the Joe Rogans or the Gary V's or the Tim Ferriss's or Robert Kiyosaki's or people like you guys who are putting out a show and influencing, you know, influencers in general, podcasters, YouTubers. All of the, like, we're going to start to realize, oh shit, people are paying attention. There's people listening. You know what I mean? You just don't see them yet because they're getting started. They're earlier in their career. You just don't know about them yet.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But there's people listening to Joe Rogan, Sam Harris, Jordan Peterson, Gary Vee, all these guys. You know, there's people listening and they're taking action. It just takes time for them to come up with their big thing, their big solution to the world's problem. But it's coming. It's here. It's just taking its time.
So let's shift gears a little bit. We've talked about the future of the world, the future of technology. Let's talk about the future of Paul and Beyond Homo Sapien. So 2019, what do you have coming up? What's the future look like for you?
So I'm working on, as for the Beyond Homo Sapien brand, we're transitioning that into more of a media company over this year and probably 2020 as well. But I'm trying to do more shows. Like right now, it's just a podcast, but eventually I want to have more episodes of the show and eventually become something similar to Netflix, I guess, in a way, although probably from the free model, just to provide a shitload of value and help people to navigate this transition. But from me and the behind the scenes stuff of what we're actually working on. So I've got a team that's been working on an automated learning platform for about the past 9 months, kind of in quietly in the shadows. And it's basically going to be something similar to Netflix, but for online education. It'll be an AI platform that'll bounce people around the internet to show them the best content for whatever it is they're trying to learn and introduce them to the best people for whatever it is that they're trying to do. Whether that's from a skill-based perspective of trying to learn something like Facebook ads or building a website or coding, or if they need help from a spiritual or personal development perspective, we'll have that too. You know, we'll connect with them with the right resources at the right time and introduce them to the right people. And this is kind of a way to, again, like eliminate these fake gurus that just keep people confused and stuck in a loop, essentially. And basically trying to be a concierge service, essentially, of something that's at a higher level. Because I've told this idea to people and they're like, oh, so you're like Udemy. You're like, you know, LinkedIn Learning or something. But no, we would say to you, hey, you're trying to learn how to code. Here's the best course on Udemy for that thing. Here's the best YouTube channel. Here's the best podcast. Here's the best influencer. Here's the best book on Amazon for what it is you're trying to do. And also, if you want to hire a coach, we recommend this person. They're super legit. That way, if you're a beginner, you can just access this platform and click coding. And then we'll give you all of this in an automated path of learning that will teach you and ultimately certify you for whatever it is you're trying to do. And then down the road, we're going to transition this into an online university that'll actually be able to issue some sort of a degree, assuming that's still even a thing in the next decade. And then eventually an online physical university and physical primary schools that teach classes using this as kind of the curriculum. So that's really what we're developing, is kind of the curriculum for the digital age, because still teaching like it's the fucking industrial age, and it's just not. It's completely backwards. And it's that is the most important thing is education. Because that really is what we're talking about here, is education. I mean, right now we're trying to educate people. We're trying to help the audience understand what's going on. So that's what we're trying to do, again, like at that collective level.
Well, before we end the show, and it's been a quick 50-some minutes here already, we always go into the rapid-fire question segment. First one, what are three of your top favorite books that you gift or tell others about?
Number one is An Iron Will. This is like when I was about 20, this is the book that kind of changed everything for me. An Iron Will. This was like my first introduction to kind of personal development and the power of your mind in general. Actually, I think I found it when I was like 22 on second thought. But An Iron Will, it's free on Kindle. And it's basically just the power of your will, essentially. It's huge. So absolutely get that. It's short. Free on Kindle and Iron Will. So that's it for kind of mindset. And then from the spirituality aspect, a really great book is Remembering Wholeness by Carol Tuttle. Remembering Wholeness. And that one is definitely more on the hippie woo-woo side of things, if you're into that. But it's this idea of the collective that we all came from. And it's kind of this idea of that we create our own realities and kind of how to really access that and how to really make it happen and really start to see some results. So like I said earlier, you know, I became curious about this and I decided to experiment with it. So this was kind of the first book I really read that kind of detailed out stuff like the law of attraction and helped me to see, you know, what do I actually do? And then I experimented with these ideas and I found that it worked in my life. So Remembering Wholeness. And then the last one is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay, which is an amazing, amazing book. And Louise Hay is one of the true kind of foundational leaders of kind of this, again, law of attraction and spirituality movement. And the book You Can Heal Your Life is really like a manual for how you can do exactly that, how you can heal from whatever you're going through, whether it's like a personal issue or a business issue or anything. And it really does kind of give you that power. So You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Definitely. Those three are probably three foundational books to everything I've been talking about here, kind of from a mindset and spirituality perspective.
If you had the opportunity to ask one question to one person, alive or dead, who would that person be and what would be the question?
I would go talk to Alexander the Great and I would ask him, what's the philosophy that changed everything for him? What was the secret? What was his, basically if he could tell me to do one thing, what would he do? You know, I'm at a similar stage as he was. He was what, like 26 or 27 when he kind of took over his father's military. Then he conquered the known world by the time he was 32. So I could say, hey, Alex, you know, I'm in your shoes effectively. I feel like we have this huge opportunity here. We're using the internet and the powers that we have today. What can I do to, I mean, obviously not kill millions of people like he did, because I don't think that's great, but you know what I mean? But that drive, that mindset, that philosophy of being like, hey, I can conquer this thing in 3-4 years, you know, like, so what's the secret, I guess? I don't know. That Alexander's definitely stood out to me as someone that I've followed since I was a little kid and it's a huge influence on me. But again, minus all of the butchering millions and millions of people that I don't get behind that. That's no good. we'll try. And I'll just interject this little spiritual thing. I definitely believe in the power of karma at the collective level. Something I believe, this is like my personal quest, is like if we can learn from people like Alexander the Great, for example, who did amazing, great things, but again, butchered millions of people. If we can apply that mindset and use it to heal the world and use it to save the planet and save millions and millions of people, maybe we can kind of heal that karma at the collective level.
So we've been talking a lot about future and what that looks like and a little bit with Alexander there about the past, but what is something that you still wish was a thing?
LAN parties. I mean, LAN parties are a thing. You just got to make it happen with your friends. Hooking up the Xbox, you know, before the pre-internet era, where you and your friends would just hook up the Xboxes to the TVs together and you'd all be playing like Halo with 24 people, but not over the internet, just over your little Ethernet cables and stuff like that. So I love that kind of stuff for sure.
That was my wife was asking me yesterday about how my bachelor party went, because we were watching Parks and Rec and they were doing the bachelor party episode. And I remembered that my mind consisted of actually going to a kind of a internet cafe, but instead of like internet computers, it was what you're talking about. It was set up with a whole bunch of land where, you know, groups of guys or whoever could get together and play their favorite video games. And then that was just, it's just like, brilliant. Wow, that's definitely a thing. So
hell yeah.
What is one of the biggest differences between marketing to a European market and a US market?
They are way more careful. Well, they are so much more careful, probably rightfully so. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to give them, they're way more, so much more differently minded around data and privacy. Like, they are, like, if you think that we're kind of phobic about data and privacy, you got no clue. Europeans, they are guarding their data with their lives. You know what I mean? So like, you are going to have to work hard to get an email address out of them or a phone number or something like that. You know what I mean? And obviously I'm talking, the people I worked with, again, it was the jiu-jitsu market. So we were reaching out to basically normal people. You know, it might be different in the business community. You know, entrepreneurs were always differently minded, a little bit more willing to give up an email address in exchange for free information, stuff like that. But yeah, like we were trying to do, you know, lead magnets to help people get into the school, get people on an email list. Just does not work. Just was not working. You know what I mean? Like they're not giving email addresses to strangers. They're like, man, what was this? And the other thing too is Facebook advertising, at least when I was there, which I was doing this about maybe 2 years ago. So there's a very good chance that this has shifted. But when I was there, the Facebook advertising platform did not have nearly as many targeting options in Germany as it does in the United States. Because again, the German government does not give Facebook that data. You know, like Uber still is not in most of Germany and in many areas of Europe, at least when I was there. You know, I mean, they have it in the cities, but in the kind of local communities, it's not really a thing. Even Google Maps is not exactly as accurate because, again, they're very phobic around giving up their privacy. Rightfully so, because they've had quite a lot of trauma in their history around giving over too much privacy to the government, right? So they're very careful about that kind of stuff. So again, it's going back to what I was saying before, like you got to build that relationship with your audience. You got to have some sort of a podcast or videos or something where you let them know, hey, I'm a normal person. You know, I'm a real person. You can trust me. Because that's what we started doing is we started doing more on Facebook Live and then kind of boosting those Facebook Live videos in the local community and stuff like that. Holding free seminars, that's what we ended up doing that worked really well. Holding like a free beginner seminar to teach the local community about jiu-jitsu. You get 30 people in there and they get to know you and now they're willing to give you an email address or a phone number. But you're not going to get that over the internet, at least in my experience with like Germany, for example. They're not just going to give you a random business their email or phone number.
That's pretty insightful. I mean, just think about the recent legislation that they recently passed and made all companies across the internet more or less, if you have clients or do business in Europe, then you have to sell in.
Yep, exactly. They doubled down on that after the whole Cambridge Analytica thing. So I would say it's probably even more like this now. But again, it's going back to what I said. This is where I think the internet in general is going, is transparency, authenticity. How much free value have you given to your audience? You know what I mean? Like, how long have they been following you on social media or a podcast or a YouTube channel? So it's absolutely huge, I think. And again, the more that you just kind of underline and underscore this whole idea of like, hey, I'm a person just like you, and I have all the same struggles and all the same stories, that's going to win the day at the end. But it takes work, takes consistency, takes you doing a podcast every day or something like that. But it pays off.
Right. How can someone be a difference maker in their community?
It starts with you for sure. So our outer world is a projection of what we experience internally. So again, if you are struggling in your internal life, but you're like, man, I'll deal with that someday. I got to work on my business. I got to grow and scale this company that I'm trying to start. Like, no, you know, take that time to balance your life. Understand that if you're struggling from serious mental health conditions or serious issues in your relationships or something along those lines, you're never going to really hit those goals you're trying to do. And if you do, it's going to come at great cost, either to your relationships or to your personal health, especially. So take that time to balance yourself and understand that is the example that the community needs. It doesn't need another business owner who grinds into the ground and then has a heart attack or a divorce or something like that. you know, or whatever. And again, obviously I'm talking at the general, not really specifics, because there's plenty of business owners who grind and grind and have a wonderful relationship. But I'm just saying, you know, think about these things. Like, the real example that we need in our communities is more people who take care of themselves, who are balanced, who have health, you know, who are healthy individuals, nice people, compassionate people, who are really understanding this idea that, you know, it's important to have a balanced life. It's important to have a healthy life. That's what we need, I think. So you fix those states internally, and then that gets magnified out at the collective level when everyone starts to do it.
I think a lot of the grinders and people that, you know, we're all familiar with, the big Gary V's of the world, you know, I think what you're going to start finding out is that they start talking less about hustle and more about life.
And Oh yeah, for sure.
I think that one of the people you'd mentioned, Kajabi earlier, is Brendon Burchard. He's already on top of that. So is another past guest that we've had on the show, Michael O'Neill. He's talked about that on his show. So yeah, definitely, definitely a trend there for sure.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And to just briefly bring up more spiritual hippie woo-woo stuff, there's this idea about the balancing the masculine and feminine energies in your in yourself. And this idea that we all have a male and a female side of us, a yin and a yang, you know, there's masculine energies, which is like that hustle, grind, get stuff done, get results, very thinking, logic oriented side of you. And then we all have a feminine energy, which is that nurturing energy that says, hey, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to be with my family and friends. It's more emotion driven and it's more creative. That's the creative side of you, is this feminine energy. You know, like, you never have the groundbreaking business idea when you're 12 hours into your, you know, your work day and you're right. tired. Like, no, you have that groundbreaking idea when you're on a walk or, you know, hanging out with your friends at the park or something, you know what I mean? Like, that's when the creative juices start to flow. So it's, again, this we're stepping into this understanding of how powerful that force is. And furthermore, how harmful it is to the society when we suppress that feminine side of ourselves and we deny that it's there, because it's not, it's absolutely there. And it's going to come roaring back in forms of, you know, health issues or relationship issues if we continue to neglect that, again, kind of at the collective level.
Powerful stuff. Well, again, Paul, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Really deep conversation here. One that I don't know if a lot of people are ready for, but they need to be ready for it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you can be found, again, your website is beyondhomosapien.com. Where can people find you on the socials?
Just look up my name, Paul Tokizolu, or look up Beyond Homo Sapien anywhere. I'm on YouTube, Facebook. I'm even on Twitch. Twitch, it's BHS Podcast. Facebook, Paul Tokizolu. Facebook actually doesn't let me say Beyond Homo Sapien because of the word homo.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I tried to make my Facebook page Beyond Homo Sapien. Doesn't let me. Hate speech. Word homo.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the companies that I'm on the board, and you know, we run a what's called the Viking Dash, and we are going national. And what's really interesting is that we are having problems placing ads for our races because of one, you know, I don't know about you or not, but a lot of these endurance events tend to have beer at them, right?
Yeah.
And two, our medals are weapons.
So, oh my God. Terrible. Yeah,
it's kind of hard to place ads sometimes.
YouTube might let you. Have you tried YouTube?
No.
YouTube should let you. YouTube's ads are really cheap these days, too, so that's definitely one to explore.
Paul, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
That's good stuff, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, there you guys go. Paul is certainly an interesting guy, and on Facebook, you know, it's really common to see people teaching about how they can help others with their services. And instead of promoting his agency, which he does to pay the bills, he's breaking from the mold and talking to folks that don't typically fit into the daily grind discussion. I have to say that's pretty unique. In this session's show note extras, I have a few videos from Paul you'll be seeing on his YouTube channel. Warning though, I have to say that in his natural environment, Paul has some pretty colorful language, so parental guidance might be something to consider. In the first video, he shares a pretty general view of what we can expect when it comes to human evolution. This is a great video if you were a bit lost in our conversation today or just want to get a more fundamental idea of what Paul and his show are all about. Next up is a bit of a timely video, I think. You know, this month, Amplify will be co-hosting an event with Walk the Talk here in Indy, which the event is actually called Manifest Anything is Possible. And in this video, Paul shares with us the manifestation pyramid and how the law of attraction really works. And personally, I've never seen this concept in a model like this, so I thought it was pretty interesting. The next two videos are interviews that Paul does with Anton Harrison Kern and a gal by the name of Molly Rose. And the first one, he and Anton go in depth about AI tech and how there's going to be a change of things for us in the future. And then the interview with Molly is all about the benefits of marijuana, which after watching a Viceland documentary on Hulu recently called Weedikit, which I think is in the third or fourth season, there's just so much information on the subject of weed that, you know, the general population really doesn't know. Plus, with the legalization of it in Canada and Mexico, you know, it's really just a matter of time before it gets legalized here in the States. So yeah, be sure to enjoy those videos and get more of a glimpse of what it means to go beyond Homo sapien. So that's it for session 142. Don't forget to get your 2 weeks free over at Fizzle. Even if you know about SEO for your site, perhaps you'll learn something about podcasting, traffic conversion, how to meet great clients, and you might actually meet some friends over there. Do so again by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle. Thank you again for spending a little bit of time with us today. Always appreciate having you here with us. Until next session, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.